Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, yeah, I love that podcast show. Oh, BS and beer is the place to go to get all the Saints news. Hell yeah, podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na na.
Now, recording live, it's the BS and Beer Podcast crew with your host, David Romero.
Welcome in, another week, another edition. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew recording live from our new studios at Mead House Fork. This week, the New Orleans Saints get right in Detroit. 35-29 in a game that really wasn't as close as the score might indicate. Now, I have my issues with how the Saints played late in the third quarter and in the fourth quarter and allowing the Lions to get back into the game. But considering the injuries, considering how well the offensive played, I think at one point they had ripped off five touchdown drives in a row after getting down 14-0. It got kind of scary. We're going to break it all down. We're going to bring Wesley Coleman in. He's going to talk to us about it. But before we do, I want to talk to you about my friends, the Nunez family. Captain Johnny is the guy you need to call over at Fishing Magician Charters, 504-676-3317. I don't care if you have a group from work that wants to go, some kind of bonding trip, big groups, small groups, you and your son, you and your daughter, you and your kids, the whole family. You want to stay overnight? The Nunez family, some of the nicest people I've ever met, very accommodating. They'll give you the time of your life if you enjoy fishing or you want to go on a trip. So give them a call, 504-676-3317, and ask for Captain Johnny. And again, the website, Fishing Magician Charters. They're the guys that you want to talk to. Louisiana, Sportsman's Paradise, you want to go fishing? These guys will hook you up. All right, grab a drink, sit back and relax, because we're about to do Don't Patrol United, the New Orleans Saints, BS and Beer style.
Tonight, on BS and Beer Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, it's the Action Suspense Airline Highway at 9:30, followed by this year's award-winning suspense thriller, Camp Beast. Next, it's hilarious family fun suitable for all ages with Drew, Sean, and Mickey. Then, it's Sex in the Cell Block, the hot new show that's too racy for daytime. That's Sex in the Cell Block at 11 tonight. Then, it's Saints Talk with Dave, Tomas, Heath, and the BS and Beer Podcast crew. Every night, here on the BS and B Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, a limited liability corporation.
All right, let's bring in Wesley Coleman. Wesley, the Saints, I mean, they pulled out a desperately needed win. Now, again, at 2-2, you still have a ways to go, but we don't have the hole to climb out of that we did had the team gone 1-3. The injuries that we added to the injury list on Sunday, but we come out with a win that, quite frankly, if we don't pull this win out on all kinds of levels, one maybe very important level is Detroit was awful. So if you can't win that game, because now I can't help but look back at that Raiders game and just think to myself, man, how did we lose that game? But on the positive side, it looks like the Saints, at least offensively, are starting to find a groove. They're starting to find a rhythm, and they're getting comfortable with the new personnel and what have you.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about the hole being 4.5 minutes into the game, down 14-0. With the people missing, I mean, me and you talked about a lot. The Saints needed to run the ball 40 times this game, which they did, but we didn't think that we were going to – we just – being down 14-0 was not the way to start this game. It felt like – I mean, it sounds kind of dumb, but it felt like we were 1-3 in the season's
– right.
So over. I mean, Sean Payton teams don't start 1-3 and make the playoffs. Like, we've seen that. Our slow starts, we've absorbed the slow starts to start 2-2, and then we go on a run, but 1-3 is a hole, and it felt after that tip ball interception and then 14-0. I mean, I know it's 4.5 minutes in, but that game felt terrible.
Well, with
what you're saying about the
with it being so early, I still felt confident that they had time to come back. But having said that, just going into the game with the injuries, with all the, you know, you're right. It started feeling very dire, very early.
Yeah. I mean, again, if you can win these games, you look back on kind of what you were alluding to. It's the best of both worlds. Drew Brees is getting a relationship with Emmanuel Sanders and a relationship with Tre'Quan Smith that he probably wouldn't be getting with Michael Thomas in there and healthy. And then, I mean, I don't know if Sean Payton's learning anything by us running the ball 42 times. I can't. We'll do that, and then next week we'll rush the ball 11 times. So I'm not sure if he's going to learn anything, but Drew Brees getting more comfortable with that. And then, you know, Cesar Ruiz had a great game yesterday. He played every snap. And I mean, so there's some people getting some experience that's valuable. Now, on the defensive side, the cornerbacks getting experience and playing better than the starters. I'm not saying they need to be the starters, but that makes no sense whatsoever.
No.
This was the most talent without Devontae Adams with the Packers. This was the most talented receiver group we played against this year. And we played with the worst cornerback group. And it makes no sense. I mean, Marcus Williams has one of the worst games of his career to me. He looked awful on every single thing he did. Couldn't cover, couldn't take man coverage, couldn't play zone, couldn't tackle a running back coming out of the backfield. And our defensive back probably, I mean, has our best game of the year against the best receiving corps. So there's, I mean, all this NFL math of this team beats this team, so this team would be this. None of it makes sense. It
doesn't.
We know that. I mean, any given Sunday is a saying for a reason. But down 14-0 with what we're missing, like, this wasn't a game I was super confident in right then. And, you know, I'm a pretty positive guy about the Saints.
Right.
We had every reason to lose this game.
Well, I agree with you. And the way the defensive backfield was set up, just going into the game with just – you didn't have a lot of confidence. And it's strange. Now, one of the things that I did not care for, and we talked about running the ball 40 times. Now, here's where the complication comes in. Late in the game, the Saints continued to try to run the ball. Now, keep in mind, Ramczyk went out with a concussion, and all of a sudden, there was nothing, no running lanes. Now, keep in mind, it wasn't just Ramczyk. Detroit knew that the Saints were just going to try to run the clock out. And people get really upset. And again, I understand it in a way, but I also understand the fact that you're managing the game. You have a lead and you're managing the game. You're trying to run the clock out and get the game over with. The problem is, at some point, this is where you start getting into, do we run the ball 40 times or do we try to get a first down? And so I feel like the Saints, while at first I was like, yeah, run the ball, I get it. There comes a point when you got to keep playing football because they know what you're going to do. They stack up against it. You punt the ball, and your defense, despite playing pretty well, is still a defense that's banged up. And sometimes you do things. Keep in mind, you set up a defense for the talent that you have on the field. And sometimes it's not the way you normally play. So it takes the offense, meaning the Detroit offense, a minute to kind of figure out what you're doing. Then once they do, then all of a sudden you start finding the holes. And I feel like it's a combination of all those things, and that the Saints defense was not in a position to try to start running the clock out as early as the Saints did. And I would have liked to have seen them continue to play further into the game than go into the run the clock out mode as early as they did.
Yeah, and I mean, so hindsight's 20/20. Instead of running the ball 42 times, I wish we had ran it 38.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly the number I came
with. Here's what I'll tell you. If Michael Thomas is in this game, three or four of those running plays, Drew Brees checks out of it and throws a quick slant to him. Right. 100%. And I get it. Okay, everybody wants to say, well, everybody can run the slant. No, they can't. Thomas is a special human being. The slant's not the – yes – the slant might be the easiest thing in football to run, not the way he runs it and the way he catches it and the way he fights people. He's special. There's a reason he broke records and did things that have never been done in the history of football. And so Drew Brees has more confidence throwing to him on the slant than Tre'Quan Smith, Emmanuel Sanders, any of those people, and he should. And I bet you that three or four of those seven people, eight people in the box defenses, Drew Brees throws a quick slant to Michael Thomas three or four times. And then this is a moot point. We get a couple more first downs and all, but because Drew Brees checks out of those. And so I bet that that makes a little difference when the team's fully healthy, a little bit too, at least three or four plays.
No, and I agree with that. It's just, again, and that's why I say it's a double-edged sword. You know, and you'll even have the people who say, you know, good running teams run into eight-man boxes and still are successful. And I'm like, why would you do that when you have a Hall of Fame quarterback? So there is a balance there, and that's what generally makes the Saints so good. I get that we're struggling right now, and we have run the ball well. Detroit doesn't stop the run well. And the combination of all those things, including Ramczyk being out of the game, it just seemed like and it's so funny that you said 38, because that's what I thought. There were like four runs that I just thought to myself, God, that was a wasted down. I mean, Kamara, I tell you what, I'll be the first one to say I don't want Kamara slamming in there and taking a pounding unnecessarily. And he heard that advice, because I tell you, when there's nothing there, that effortless glide that he has looks like he's disinterested when there's no holes, because he kind of runs up in there and he's like, huh. And I've seen him run the ball in the hole aggressively. But if there's no hole, he's generally, it's almost like, oh my God, and we lose 2 yards and now it's second and 12. And it's frustrating. And then the other team has momentum and the defense is playing soft because you don't want to give up the big play. So when we start seeing that comeback, that Atlanta style fourth quarter, you know, ball game, it starts making you nervous. And quite frankly, it was too close for it shouldn't have been that close. And I think that if we could have done it again, I'd like to see us do it a little bit different. Let me move on to something else that I don't normally make a huge deal out of, unless it's an impactful thing. Like I want to preface this by saying, it irritates me to see fans that claim that there was holding on every play, because there is holding on every play and you're not going to get it called. But we continue to see poor officiating that's just almost obvious. And I know that we discussed it in text messages, the Anzalone plays, but I'm going to go a step further. There was maybe in the second quarter, Detroit ran the ball around the right side, and there was a holding play, a holding call on their receiver, I believe it was. And they brought it back. They not only did they made it first and 10 and didn't take the yardage away. And I was like, honestly, I don't even remember it during the game until I saw it watching the game again. Now, how do you make these mistakes?
This is the same thing about like being able to walk off 5 yards and do simple math and all, but then the phantom flags is, getting insane. I am not an Anzalone fan. I love we've talked about this. I like his athleticism, but the truth is, and we talked about this, he has become Manti Te'o. If you put the ball right at him, he's going to light you up at the line. If anything else happens, he's lost. He can't keep up. His coverage thing, it's not that he can't do coverage. He can't read where the guy's running across the field to anything. But he got some terrible calls on him yesterday that, it made no sense. Just people touching on – again, we've had 2 weeks in a row with completely uncatchable balls. Defensive players have the right to catch a ball. If there is a 50-50 ball, a defensive player has just as much right to catch the ball as the offensive player. Now, you can't knock them down and then catch it, but you can go up in the air. Marcus Williams jumped up for an interception that he tipped the ball. If he had intercepted the ball, there's no flag there because he has the right to go catch it. And again, an uncatchable ball to the offensive player too. And I don't know. There's just a litany of things that don't make any sense now. And I know we talked about this last week, and I'm like, I'm not the conspiracy theorist guy. I don't believe in it. Man, I'm starting to get convinced.
Well,
and I hate being that type of fan.
I'm opposed to it too, and I'm not even trying
to say. I was at the famous Rams game in the playoffs. Non-call was 100 feet in front of me, and I drove home 6 hours right after that game, like stayed up till 3 a.m. So I've had a lot of time to think about this and be somebody that's upset. And I don't believe in this conspiracy. I'm starting to.
Well, really
getting close.
I'm still not trying to create a conspiracy theory so much as, these calls are just horrible.
And Dave, how many football games have you watched this year? Look, the Saints have played 4 games. total, how many games have you watched? Your Red Zone channel, all that. How many games?
I mean, I would say at this point, every one of them.
Okay. These calls don't get made in every football game. And that's what's starting to just irritate me. It's, if I was watching all the games, and we like to have this complaint about why are these 65-year-old referees who work a full-time job all year and then come and do this part-time, like, why does the NFL allow this when they have the money? But it's not in every single game that they're screwing up. It's not. I'm watching the games. There is not – I'm on Twitter all the time, not with just Saints media, but with national people that cover football, and they start tweeting out about the Saints getting screwed again. And I'm looking at their Twitter feed, and they're not tweeting about other teams getting screwed. And they watch all the games. It doesn't make any sense. Like, it's – there's – it just – again, I don't want to be that guy, and I hate the people that are that guy. Football games. It's not all the referees are terrible. There's a weird thing happening.
Yeah. You know what? I'm not here to confirm or deny that. I find your passion for it amusing, but the more you talk, the more convincing it is, because you're right. Like, okay, when I watch the Saints game, I obviously watch it with a different level of intensity. So when I watch the other games and there is a call, I'm just like, yeah, you know what? I'm gonna go make a sandwich now. You know, it's when you start saying that, it does make me realize, I'm like, God, for instance, the interception, Anzalone redirects a man and maybe he was at 6 yards, but he gives him a push. It's commonplace. That's an absolute thing that linebackers are taught, to redirect receivers in the middle of the field. And just for them to have thrown that flag is just ridiculous, especially when you consider that the ball was not thrown that way. If it was thrown that way, maybe you have an argument. But these ticky-tack calls that are just, I don't want to say game-changing, but they affect the game. And, you know, okay, I don't get into this whole, well, this didn't happen or that didn't happen. It doesn't change the outcome. At the end of the day, everything affects the game. Whether you go up by 10 or you get an interception, or you go down by 3, all those things change the way you play the game. I didn't mean to turn this into a, it feels like when it's just you and I talking, we end up going all over the place with conversation in it. Yeah, I guess it's a good thing. Let's talk about some positive stuff now. I can't help it, but I just want to take this opportunity to rub in the face of the internet, Tre'Quan Smith. And the reason I do that is because nothing, and our very own, my buddy, Tomas Mauricio, who's the biggest Johnny Come Lately guy, who loves to talk about the newest free agent guys, the next great player. And I get on him about that because until I see him do it, I'm not jumping on any bandwagon. The same thing goes with a guy who's only been in the league for 2 years. And I realize this is year 3. In 2 years, and people are already like talking about his career's over. If he don't do it now, do what? You got Michael Thomas. He's the best receiver in the league. What do you want Smith to do? Now, I get it. He's been banged up a little bit, but he's shown ability. Now, he hasn't had the opportunity to be consistent. But having said that, we're not talking about our primary receiver here. We're talking about depth. We're talking about a guy who, with Sanders on the team, is also probably our number 3 receiver and has shown that while he's still – I don't see number 1 guy in him. He's not a difference maker, especially when you put him high up the depth chart, because I just don't see the elusiveness, the explosiveness that I see in number 1 guys. But he's a very good receiver that's going to help this team a lot. And on Sunday, he not only had a great game, but he had a reception in the most crucial time of the game where we had to convert, and he caught a ball with a defender's arm in between his arms, and he still held on to the ball, caught it, and went to the ground and got a first down. And this has turned from a question to you to a rant. But I'm just sick of people with this idea that if a guy does not develop and show – and the thing is, it's not that he hasn't shown anything. He has shown things. He's had great games, not consistently, but he has shown the potential. And people are ready to run him out of town. They need to replace him with who? The next free agent guy that you've never seen do anything either? And the same thing goes in – and maybe some of my irritation is the same thing is going on with Davenport. I know he has problems. I know he hasn't been on the field. When he's out there, he's playing well. And the Saints are not getting rid of him or cutting him or tossing him away without giving him a chance to produce. Simple as that.
So Tre'Quan Smith stuff never made sense to me either. So one, we have a complicated offense. If anybody hasn't figured that out, we have veteran running backs and receivers that have come in here that don't understand what's going on. Emmanuel Sanders is a brilliant receiver. It's been in the league 11 years, played with Peyton Manning, who's a super complicated guy to knowing all his calls and what he's doing. We're different. And it took him 4 weeks to really figure out what's going on and not just catch a couple balls. Tre'Quan Smith is a young guy who's been injured. He's caught 5 touchdowns in each of his first 2 seasons. What do you want from a rookie third round middle? I mean, 5 touchdowns in a season is a good for your second or third receiver when you have tight ends and running backs who catch the ball. And then yesterday, like you alluded to, him coming up big, catches a 3rd and 5, gets a 19-yard catch, and then also I believe a 18-yard catch on 3rd and 9. And then the hustle play on the fumble.
Yes, that ended up not being a fumble.
The fumble that wasn't a fumble, but we got 17 yards out of it. So yeah, it was a fumble.
Right. Okay. That's yes.
That was a complete hustle play. Now again, we can go back and say he didn't know that it wasn't a fumble. So it would have gotten reviewed. We would have gotten the ball back and all like that. But still, I mean, it didn't have to be reviewed because he hustled down there and got it. And there was a few plays like that. And he's always that guy. Remember him coming out of college. It was a big deal. Half of his highlight videos from college were him blocking downfield on long runs by the UCF running back. And he's done that. He's in all those plays doing that in the NFL too. And this is all 2 of his catches. He left the game with, he thought he broke a rib. And I don't know if you've ever bruised or broken ribs.
No, it's bad.
Oh my goodness. Now again, he didn't break a rib, but the fact that him and the trainers, he was in so much pain that they thought he was still hurting in the 4th quarter coming back and playing the game. Let's be real. So again, this is what Tre'Quan Smith is supposed to be. No, he's not ever going to be our number one receiver. He doesn't need to be, but this is a great game for him with some big changes.
And quite frankly, not just a game. He's had a good season so far. Only 4 games into it. Michael Thomas only played 1 game and Tre'Quan Smith stepped up. And if I'm going to pat myself on the back, I called it. I heard the rumors and the reports that Sanders hadn't really picked up the offense and he was really the only receiver. Now I get that we have running backs that catch the ball too, but he's really the only receiver that knew the offense. So I expected him to get some targets and to, this would be his opportunity to show up, and he did. And so anyway, again, this whole little rant that I've gone on and you've supported me has been more to just say to people, you need to calm down. I mean, if 3rd round draft picks, I get that there's higher expectations on 1st round draft picks and you would expect them to develop quicker. But, you know, with a 3rd round guy, are you serious? Come on, give him a break. The guy has shown what he can do.
And he played 11 games last year, but so far this year, he has 4 less catches and 48 less yards than he had all of last season.
Right. I mean, now, wasn't he injured
quite a bit? Third year development, he's moving.
Wasn't he injured quite a bit last year too? I don't remember.
He played 11 games, but he had a couple of injuries in games where he didn't.
Right, where he didn't finish out. So the point is that, again, I don't have a problem if people want to point out, because I do it myself. You know, guys not injured, availability is one of the most important abilities. And he struggled with that a little bit. But again, for a guy who's a 3rd round draft pick, he's proven his value. He's proven his worth. And he's not getting replaced by the next undrafted free agent guy that comes in that's the training camp superstar. All right, let's talk about some more positive stuff. Patrick Robinson. Okay, we had 2 backup cornerbacks starting for us, going up against 2 very good receivers, a very good quarterback, a good passing offense. Sometimes, we have our friend Gary, who's a huge Lions fan, who sends us stats and points out that Stafford's statistics are very similar to Drew Brees, and it's almost eye-opening. So we were not going up against an offense that's not capable of scoring, and they held their own very well. So I'm proud of them. Patrick Robinson had a momentum-changing interception in the end zone, played well, tackled well. He's a guy that, getting a little longer in the tooth, so I don't know if you – because that's the thing they say about older guys – is they can have good games, but if you put them out there in the wear and tear over the course of the season, but to know we have a backup corner that can come in and play like that, it's reassuring.
And he played 95% of snaps yesterday. I mean, again, as an older guy who hasn't played this season and last year was a healthy scratch all year, I mean, he played 95% of snaps yesterday, and we didn't hear his name except for when he was making positive plays. Like, that's it's good. And again, Patrick Robinson, from what we understand, had a great offseason. They talked about in training camp, like, he was playing great. And there was this big talk about Keith Washington taking his job because Keith Washington intercepted 6 balls in the offseason, which doesn't happen. But Patrick Robinson also had a great, you know,
great training camp.
Pretty great training camp. And also, I mean, pretty cool to see him get to come in there and, I mean, finally live up to his first round draft pick from 2010.
And, you know, they said that Patrick Robinson in the offseason kind of committed to changing his body. And they say that, like veterans, you know, you lose a little speed. So then the next thing you need to do is lose a little weight so you can regain some speed. And you try to find that role to keep you in the league a little bit longer. And whatever he's done, you know, what I would do is, as soon as the starters come back, I would put him back in the bubble wrap, put him back on the shelf, and say, we'll call you when we need you, buddy, because we need him to not get beat up throughout the season. And this is all assuming that neither one of the injuries to our cornerback seem like it's something that would keep him out very long. So, you know, listen, let's keep the wear and tear down on this guy, because my biggest concern, we have a lot of slot cover guys, interior cover guys. We don't have a lot of outside boundary cover guys, and we need to make sure that we have that guy to step in when we need him. Another positive thing, Hendrickson had another sack. He played pretty well. And I think we had a Cam Jordan sighting.
Good. You know, I'm laughing here. How many positives are you going through before you get to saying you were wrong about Drew Brees?
Like, well, no.
I'm just playing with you.
Let me say.
You keep. I know it's coming, but you keep leading. And another positive, like.
Okay. Well, so, here's the thing. I got everything I say is in record. It has been recorded. So my point is that we all know what Drew Brees is, and I think we feel the same way. And I understand what you're saying. Yes. I thought you were trying to catch me there. I was worried just like everybody else, but I've said on several occasions, I'm not saying it's good enough, but what I'm saying is I expected to get Drew Brees back. I expected him to knock the rust off and I expected him to be the old Drew Brees, which means a guy that doesn't go down the field a whole bunch, but he's very accurate and he's going to make good decisions. So we got exactly what we are used to on Sunday. We got the good Drew Brees.
I want to say to your point, Trey Hendrickson has 12 quarterback pressures this year.
Where are we going here, man?
Okay. This is Marcus Davenport kind of. No, I just want to say that. Like, give. But hey, important stat from yesterday. And Drew, he looked different, played different. The two things. One, watching him, the way he navigated the pocket yesterday was better than what he's done the first three games. The first three games, it felt like when anybody, there was something off. And that's what he's always been good at, is that navigating the pocket. And it was different yesterday than the first three games. But on throws over 15 yards, Drew Brees was 6 of 9 yesterday. That's everything that we've been talking about this year. And so, again, I know that none of us pulled the pin out of the grenade and was ready to blow it all up, but we put him on watch.
Yeah, yes, fair enough, okay.
He was on watch, but none of us were like, no, we don't need to change. But let's see where this is going. This is what. So again, I know we talked about last week. Yes, we don't understand what all the defenses are doing. We have to relay to Drew Brees that he knows what he's doing. Yesterday was a great game from him. You on offense or defense where the Lions game plans came from. It's like they hadn't watched a game of ours this year. they had one time where they rolled out and did a bootleg. I know that's not Matt Stafford's specialty, but holy crap, we can't defend it.
Find out if you can defend it now.
Yeah. So there was some weird stuff, but Drew Brees had a great game. Looked like Drew Brees, super efficient. It was good to see.
All right. Well, do you have any other things you want to touch on before we let you go here?
So we're talking about the Trey Hendrickson, and you mentioned that Cam Jordan played 75% of the snaps yesterday. That's the lowest total since 2012. And thinking kind of, he's not an older Patrick Robinson, they kind of stuff like that, trying to protect him. But I think it makes a lot of sense of why we wanted Jadeveon Clowney. And again, you and I agreed upon this back then. If it came, he wasn't taking Davenport snaps. Davenport was going to get however snaps Davenport's going to get, but Cam Jordan was going to go down. I think we said 80 or 85%, 75s. I mean, and I can't imagine if we actually had a third defensive end, he might have even played 70 snaps.
Less snaps, yeah.
So there's a game plan there. And again, Cam Jordan, the numbers aren't looking good, but what we've also, as a defense, how long we've let quarterbacks, or how quick quarterbacks have been getting rid of the ball against our cornerbacks, we talked about that. I don't think he's having probably as bad a season as we need to freak out about. He hasn't hit a wall and he's not done. But the Saints coaches are being smart, where we had a pretty decent game yesterday and Cam got some rest.
You know, we talked about the Cam Jordan thing, and as he gets a little bit up there in age, that was my biggest concern. And when again, I know, and I talk about Davenport a lot, but I wasn't planning on Davenport losing any snaps. Having said that, you know, last week we talked about there's some more stuff going on there than we know about. But having said that, Clowney would have come in. I look at Cam Jordan. He's kind of like the power back. He's very effective, but man, he takes a pounding because of the way he plays very strong. He's not a guy that's super quick to get around people. He's a power guy. And I hope that he's not wearing down. And if that is the case, then we definitely need to find somebody to take some snaps from him so that we can get the best Cam Jordan as much as possible. Because quite frankly, if whatever's going on with him continues and all of a sudden Cam Jordan can't give you as many snaps, man, we are looking very weak on the pass rush, and it's so important. And I don't know how this defense can hold up, even with everybody healthy, if we can't get Davenport and Cam Jordan on the other side being productive pass rushers. It's going to be a long season. It's going to be a long season.
I mean, there's probably, hopefully, going to continue to be some sort of decent commitment to the run. Kamara with 19 carries and Murray with 14 yesterday. That's a good number. Maybe reverse those numbers a little bit to get him and Murray like equal. But that looked really good, just, and that helps our defensive line. That helps our defensive backs. And I think it helps Drew Brees too.
All right. Well, that's Wesley Coleman. Wesley, thanks for coming in and giving us your thoughts and insight. And we'll catch up with you later in the week when we do our preview show.
BS and Beer, standing up for the little people, man.
BS and Beer Podcast.
Standing up for people.
BS and Beer.
Indeed, you are powerful.
Americans are going to stand up and say,
BS and Beer.
And I'm just telling you what people are going to do.
We fight bullies.
BS and Beer Podcast.
There's going to be a revolution
for the people.
BS and Beer.
There's going to be riots in the streets.
BS and Beer.
BS and Beer.
Getting ready to rise up.
BS and Beer Podcast.
Come on, I'm joining them.
Now witness the firepower of this fully armed and operational
podcast.
All right, so next Monday night we take on the Chargers. The Chargers are a little beat up themselves, and it should be a game the Saints have a chance to win, especially if they continue to improve. And I guess my expectations are that they will, because quite frankly, a team's not going to change, especially with a veteran quarterback and the experience that we have. We should hopefully maybe get Michael Thomas. I would say the odds are pretty good that we get Michael Thomas back. And I would also say that we may get our starting cornerbacks back. So if we start getting healthy, and, you know, we got to see what happens with Davenport. Although, look, Hendrickson has been playing extremely well. Having said that, you can always use some more depth. I think Wesley brought up the fact that Jordan is starting to get a little bit less snaps than we're accustomed to. And maybe that's a sign of, we got to keep the guy healthy and keep him fresh throughout the season. We need that depth at defensive end, pass rushing ability, good rotation. So hopefully we'll get him back, but we'll cover all of that when the injury report comes out and our show later in the week, whenever we do our preview. But I want to thank the guys over at Dome Patrol United, our new network, where, you know, you can catch everything from a gambling show to some, if you're a soccer fan, you got tons of Saints going on over there. So I want to invite you guys to all go over there and go ahead and like, and subscribe. That's the word I'm looking for. Subscribe to that feed so that you can get all those downloads. And keep in mind that we will come to a point where we'll end the BS and Beer show on this feed and just become one part of that radio station over there. If you want to follow me, I love having some new people to talk Saints football with on Twitter. It's at SaintsBS, simple as that, SaintsBS. Come on over there, follow me. We can talk some Saints football. And that's basically all the show we have for you. We'll go into some more depth about the injury report, go into more depth about the Chargers game, and we'll do that later on in the week, maybe Friday. That's all the show we have for you. So we'll talk to you for Heath Elsenson, Tomas Mauricio, Wesley Coleman, and the Dome Patrol United Network. You've been listening to the BS and Beer podcast. I'm Dave Romero, and we'll talk to you later on the week.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back, and that's the way it is.
Everyone is a so dumb, miss. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast, oh. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast, oh. Oh, boy, don't waste time.